We have been preaching through the Sermon on the Mount. And today we wrap this up. As I was gone, I was listening to some of the other sermons. Brother Ramon preached 2 weeks ago in the Spanish service. And he said something in there I really liked, I hadn't thought of. We talked about how when we first read the Bible, a lot of times we'll grab it and just start reading through Genesis. And that's a difficult thing if you've never read the Bible, right? Because you get through a few pages and you're like, this is lame. Let's be honest. You get through, the first time you get to a genealogy, you're like, and I'm out, right? If you make it to Leviticus, you're probably done for sure. And good for you for making it that far, right? But he said, we always tell people, don't start in the Old Testament. We tell people, usually, I remember the first time someone told us about reading the Bible, they said you should start in the book of John. That's kind of a go-to, start in the book of John. But Ramon said, and I love what he said, I didn't thought of this. He said, really, if someone's never read the Bible, maybe the best place to start, to just kind of get an idea of what it is that God is saying in the entirety of the Scriptures, is the Sermon on the Mount. Because it really does encapsulate like the entirety of God's message in this one sermon. And leave it to Jesus to nail a sermon, right? Like, of course, he's God, so he's got that going for him. But he does bring it all together wonderfully. And it's one of those things that as we study together, it's one of those aspects that I feel we don't put enough thought into sometimes, maybe. Like, we skim over and we're like, yeah, that sounds good, it makes sense, but we don't really consider the implications of his words. And we should, because this is the word of God. I mean, we had it in Exodus when they were brought out of Egypt. He took them to Sinai, and Moses stood there, and Moses brought the word. And it says in Exodus 20, and after Moses had spoken the word of the Lord, and here on the Sermon on the Mount, here goes Jesus again on the Mount, right? Kind of Matthew wants us to see this imagery of Jesus as this new Moses, but not someone sharing the word from God, but as God himself, absolute authority, standing there on the Mount, sharing with his people, saying, this is the word of God. It's not a new word. It's not a different word. It's the same word that he brought to you at Sinai. It's the same word that he's been trying to get you to understand from the very beginning. And I hear the word of God. I am here giving you that same word. It's powerful, right? And it should be. It's supposed to be. So if you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, we'll read these last five verses of the Sermon on the Mount. Would you rise to your feet? And in Matthew 7, beginning in verse 24, he records Jesus as saying, everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I hope you packed a lunch, because I told Josh this would be short. And I blame Marty. Actually, she's like, what? And everybody's like, you play Marty? Who does that? I'm about to get stoned. Calm down. Let me explain. Marty had brought something up yesterday, and she was so right. Like, if we're going to take the Sermon on the Mount, and you're going to understand how to apply it, and what Jesus is saying here, the simplicity of what Jesus is saying is what I've told you before is really the 8-word sermon, right? And this is where it's Marty's fault. She reminded me of this, and leave it to Marty to remind me of good things. But the eight-word sermon goes like this, and this is it, folks. See Jesus. See Jesus walk. Walk like Jesus. Right? That's it. I see Jesus. I see Jesus walk. I'm going to walk like Jesus. And I got to be honest with you. One of the things I've been wrestling with is this whole, how do I do that, right? What am I doing? And the Lord laid on my heart this reflecting, right? This reflecting of God's image, of being the imager of God. But to do that, I have to see Jesus. I have to see how Jesus walks. And then I got to walk like Jesus. And that's tough. Because for those of you who haven't read the end of any of the four Gospels, in all four of them, he dies. It's not a good ending, or at least it doesn't seem like one. It's such a crazy ending that even Paul says, like, to the unknowing, to the unbeliever, this is foolishness, it's stupid. Why would you follow this guy? Why would I follow Jesus? Why should I do what he says? Why should I be obedient to this? Because it didn't seem to end well for him. Why should I do it? So here's what he's saying, and here's what I believe is true. Because it's real. I want you to let that sink in for a second. This is real. Real things happen. Moms get cancer and they die. That's real. A 7-year-old child sits attached to a machine because she needs a new heart. That's real. A father gets hurt at work and loses his income. That's real. Alcohol enslaves a parent. That's real. A false claim is made and it destroys a life. That's real. A violent murder takes place and it claims two lives. That's real. In the midst of a celebration, a dear friend dies right in front of you. That's real. A loved one betrays us for someone else. That's real. A parent sets their child up for failure so that they can depend on them forever. That's real. An adult son tells his parents that he hates them and hopes they die alone. That's real. Politics divide a brother and a sister. That's real. A friend stabs you in the back in the midst of your trauma. That's real. A spouse and a parent walk away from their family to seek a fantasy. That's real. And every single one of these and countless others are real things that are happening. They're real things that happen to every single one of us, real people. And every one of these are real events that I've witnessed in the last year alone. That's real. These things happen to us without consideration of who we are. They're simply real events in this real world. There are storms in every single one of our lives. And these storms attack the very house that every person builds. And I'll be honest with you, I'm so encouraged when I watch how some persevere through some of the most horrific storms. But I am too often, far too often, I'm heartbroken by those whose entire world is destroyed by the storm that they and everything that they anchored themselves to, when it falls, and when it falls, a great fall. I shared with someone yesterday, told me that my goal was to get people to join a religion. I shared with myself, that's not my goal at all. I'm driven. And I'm driven because I have recognized that most of the people that I knew, that these people had poured everything that they were into building a life, into building a house. That most of the people that I know, even today, that's what they do. They seek to build a life. Thank you, Melissa. I see people of all kinds build a life for themselves in so many different amazing and beautiful ways. And I see some of them building a life, building a home, even against the most ridiculous of odds. I see people try to build up these homes even when they grew up with abusive parents. I see people building up a life for themselves even amidst just horrific racism. I see people trying to build a home, trying to build a life for themselves when they came from nothing but poverty. I see people who work so hard to build a life for themselves, even when the system is stacked against them. They don't allow anything to get in their way. They persevere through these things, and I'm encouraged, and I love that, and it drives me. It drives me to see people do this. I love seeing these stories. I think we all love this. But I'm also driven because I watched people build their lives with everything that they had within them, only to have it fall apart around them because they didn't build their homes upon the rock that is Jesus. And I'm not saying that if you don't have Jesus, you didn't work hard. What I'm saying is the opposite. I'm saying you work so hard for what you have. So many of the people that we know in this world, they have worked so hard to get where they are, to make something happen, to have some kind of a life. But because they didn't build it on Jesus, I watch it fall and crumble around them. And it breaks my heart. For so many reasons, they don't do what Jesus says to do right here. Some built their lives with the idea that God wasn't even real. And Jesus had no place in their plans. I remember a friend getting upset when I told him, "Man, the Lord has blessed you." And he said, "God's had nothing to do with this. I did this." And it broke my heart. Because I realized that this person had built their entire life upon themselves. And the foundation for their life, because it was themselves, and they, like every one of us, are weak foundations, everything that they built up will not be able to stand against even the slightest of weathering, and so their world falls apart easily. And we see it over and over again. I'm sure every one of us have witnessed this. I've seen some who built up and worked hard to build up a life while claiming that they believed in Jesus. I believe in God. But me and God, we have a personal understanding. And so I don't need religion or church. I don't need that stuff because it's just about me and Jesus. Me and Jesus, we got a thing. And so I don't need these things in my life. I just need to do my thing and you need to leave me alone and let me and God do it our way. And so what happens is these are the type of people who really do nothing more than put Jesus is a footnote on their blueprints of their lives, but they don't allow God to speak into how their life would be built. And they too would have their homes fall. Because they, just like the person who didn't believe in God, didn't build anything upon him. They just put him as a footnote. And at the end of the day, they really just built everything upon themselves. And listen, I love y'all. Some of y'all are tougher than nails. But you're weak against the world. And you cannot hold up your house. I've seen some who started with building their homes on a foundation. But they wanted more than what was permitted by the foundation of Christ. The foundation of Christ said, this is where your house can be built. These are the perimeters. These are the outside walls. And he said, I want something more. I want this, but I also want that. And so they would build add-ons to their home, hoping that this add-on that was outside of the parameter that God gave them would bring them more joy. But because the add-on went beyond the foundation that is Christ, because it went beyond the rock, this add-on that they put on there, this add-on that they thought would bring them more joy into this life, this add-on was built upon sand. It was built upon fantasies. And soon enough, even without a great storm, the sand underneath simply eroded. And this thing that they wanted, this thing that was in the image of their fantasy, this thing would start to sink. And because they wanted it so badly, they felt the need to try and to restore the sinking foundation. And so they would pour more and more of themselves into saving their fantasy. But it eroded away faster than they could restore it. And because they chose to love this add-on more than the home that was built on the rock, they perished with it when it fell into the sinking sand. All the time fighting to save it, angry that others would not join their futile efforts to save the fantasy. We've all seen this happen. And there's some, and this is the one that I really worry about. There are some who memorized God's word. They even insisted that their family do the same. They attend church regularly, join the leadership, even utilize Jesus in the scriptures in framing, finishing, and certainly decorating of their homes. Everything in our home is built to look like Christ, the way we think Christ would want it. And as you come in, you know that this is a Christian home. But they only chose to obey him when it fit their preconceived notion of how that house needed to be built. This is what the house of God should look like, so this is how I'm going to build it. And so what they did, and what I see happen very often, this is very common with Christians, is that instead of forming the foundation that is Christ and then building our house upon it, we decided what the house needed to look like for Christ, and then forced Christ into that foundation and built the foundation after the fact. We built the house and shoved the foundation underneath because we need Jesus to be built in my image, to be built in the way that I want things to be done. I love you, God. I'm going to remember your word. I'm going to memorize your word. I'm going to teach it to my children. We're going to participate. We're going to be a part of the church, but this is what it's going to look like, and that's it. And we're going to force you, God, to be that foundation that we want. And so they remove the authority that he has to define the parameters of their home. Do we not see that we do that? That we say, okay, I'm following God so you can't get mad at me. I'm doing this. I'm going to church. I'm being a part of it. I'm doing all of this stuff. But we're telling God, you don't have the authority to define the parameters of my home. I do, or my culture does, or these things that I've already believed in the way I was raised in the church does. That tells me what the parameters look like, not you, God. And they took God's authority for themselves while claiming that they were Christian through and through. And so what happens with these people, what happens is that their house falls from internal storms and that are caused by the perversion of their own plans. And because they claim Jesus as their foundation, what happens is they cause their children to become more like those who reject God entirely or would make him nothing more than a footnote for their plans. Because you know what? I watched my parents say they built this house on Jesus. They did all these things. They went to church. We were part of the quizzing. They were a part of all the leadership. And you know what? It didn't work out for them, and it was all bad inside, and there was a lot of drama. So you know what? Their God isn't right. I'm going to go back to this way. I don't need God at all, or I'll just make God a footnote, and I'm going to move on and do things my way. And that's what we do. That's why our churches are emptying today. Our churches are emptying today. Christianity is declining today because we have so many Christians who have forced God into their image to be their foundation all the time, saying, I'm a Christian. I got a fish on my car. I've been baptized, washed by the blood, and I only listen to Love Radio, to what, K-Love, or whatever the heck it is. And then we get upset because someone challenges the way we viewed the scripture, the way we want to do it. The enemy of the church is not the unbeliever. It's Christians who force God into their parameters. And their house would fall, and they would spend their entire lives, I watched them spend their lives and their energy trying to shore up all the walls so that nobody would notice. Oh, let's hide this. Let's keep this on the down low. Let's not tell anyone about this. Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's hide this. Let's look at that. Let's make it like this. Because for them, perception is everything. I've seen every one of these things in my life. I'm willing to bet most of us have. I've witnessed all of these things in this last year. And I have been devastated watching friends and family lose everything because they would not build their house entirely upon and within the foundation that is Jesus Christ. And so for this reason, I'm driven. That's why. That's why this matters. That's why the Word of God matters. That's why full obedience to what Jesus says matters. I love every one of these people. And I don't want to see anyone lose anything. I don't. So you know what I do? I preach Christ. I preach Christ crucified. I preach Christ risen. Because I want us to get it. I want us to see the importance of this foundation. I preach Christ crucified and risen in hopes that our eyes would be opened. And that we would see the foundation of Jesus isn't, it's not just immovable in the storms, but it's also so large, so amazing, that it has the potential to allow us to build our lives in ways that are filled with joy, happiness, peace, adventure, and love that we could ever imagine. We worry sometimes that these parameters close us off, but if we would just stop and look within, we would see how wonderful and great it is. So this is what I preach. This is what I try to preach. And I get it. I fail most of the time. I know. That's what I'm trying to say. That's my lifelong sermon, is that we need Christ. We need to live on Christ within this foundation and recognize that it isn't restrictive, but it opens up our lives to so much. Amen. To adventures we never would have known or imagined. And I look forward to adventures. I planned my post-retirement semi-senile adventure. I'm not going to share that with you now, but I'm excited. I invite the team to come back up. We have to have faith in the Word of God because these things are real. All these things happen to every one of us. But I also want to let you know, and this is the good part, that I've also been so encouraged when I see saints persevere through storms that I couldn't even imagine. When I see a husband who mourns every day the loss of his beloved wife, and I see that person reach out to his friend who's facing a lesser storm, just invite him to breakfast because he wants to encourage him in his time of struggle, I see a house that was built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That person perseveres through the storm. When I see a mother and a father walk with their son as he loses his wife to cancer, but they still consider service to others a pleasure, I see a house that's built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That house will endure. When I see a husband struggle with his job situation, but he makes it a priority to encourage his wife, his children, and his friends to trust in the Lord with all that they are, I see a man who's built his house upon the rock that is Jesus Christ. And that house will endure. But I gotta tell you, the one that I seen that really got me this year was when I see a mother and father standing in a hospital room next to their little girl waiting for a new heart. And they are so strong in their faith that they find it natural and easy to comfort and encourage their pastor during his own storm that is nothing compared to theirs. I see the rock.
Amen.
I'm encouraged because that house will persevere. You see, friends, you've all faced terrifying and powerful storms that have threatened everything that you have tried to build your life upon. Every one of us faced them, and you're going to face more, and it's going to continue to happen. You're going to face more storms than you ever imagined possible. But the only way you and your home will stand during these storms, the only way your home will provide shelter from the death and the chaos of this life, is if it is built entirely and squarely upon the rock that is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So friends, that means that we need to be more than just hearers and decorators of the word. It means that we need to live out what Jesus is preaching and recognizing that he is the lens by which we are to interpret and apply all of Scripture. I have so much peace right now. The storms are going to come. But I look at you. And y'all encourage me. So let's continue to do that. Put your eyes to your feet. As we sing the song, don't just sing the words. Don't just follow it with lip service. Pray them, know them, make them your commitment to the Lord. Because I don't want to see any of you hurt. So bless us, Father, as we glorify you, the rock.